Now, up first, we're going to talk about emails. These were a product of the computing revolution of the 1990s, which brought us the internet, and they've been used by growing numbers of the general public and businesses for the last 15 years now. Emailing your travel agent or even your bank for advice is one thing, but how would you feel about conducting a consultation with your doctor this way? With a rising population and increasing pressure on healthcare services, medical practitioners are now looking for ways to improve the efficiency of the services they provide. And in an article in the British Medical Journal this week, GP Emma Richards, based at Imperial College London, is concerned about safety, confidentiality and workload. We'll hear from her in a minute, but first I spoke to Eleanor Gunning, who's also a GP, and she's based at University College London. She says email can work.
We're using email to communicate in our day-to-day lives and in many other industries, and medicine seems to have fallen behind a little bit. I've been lucky enough to have experience of working in a surgery where they have used emails, and I think that it's improved care for patients. Certainly it's improved access and convenience, and the doctors have also found it very useful.
What sorts of questions or communications have the doctors at the surgeries at which you have worked been exchanging with patients?
I found that the emails that our patients sent were actually really very appropriate. We generally find that after an episode of care that's been a face-to-face episode, because I fully admit that email can't substitute all the things that you can do in a face-to-face communication and the fact that you can do a physical examination. But then what I found really useful and the patients found convenient is that the follow-ups could be done through email. So you can communicate test results. The patient could tell you if nothing was improving in 2 weeks. And I think simple medical conditions and certainly facilitating follow-up, self-care, communication of results, I think it can be a very useful addition to the sorts of communication we already use.
Emma Richards.
I do think that there are some concerns, though. Anything sort of new to be implemented really does need to be sort of robust and backed up by the evidence. And I think at the moment, the majority of GPs are a little bit wary of this. I think some of the main concerns, you know, around safety, the sort of things that they might want to talk about on email, certain follow-ups for simple conditions, perhaps that would be appropriate, but actually there's no way of limiting that. You know, what prevents someone from emailing about an episode of chest pain on a Friday night that's not going to get read till Monday? And, you know, there's also concerns regarding confidentiality and actually GP time. GP days are sort of 10 to 12 hours long, and most of the time you don't get a moment between seeing patients, doing the paperwork, going on visits, taking phone calls. I think it would be very difficult to squeeze that somewhere into the day. I think without a lot of sort of careful planning and more investment in general practice, we certainly need more general practitioners in order to provide this kind of service. I just can't see at the moment how it could be done.
So, Eleanor, how do you manage patient expectations? Emma makes a very important point that she's off on her lunch break when during her lunch hour she's seeing 5 home visits, comes back to the surgery, and in the meantime, 15 emails have turned up. None of them are prioritised because they just turn up in time order. How do you know which ones you're going to deal with first? You've now got a waiting room full of patients expecting to be seen.
That was my concern when I started working in a practice that used email. I thought, how on earth am I going to manage all this as well as everything else? And I think it's all to do with the planning of the service. It takes time and investment and very careful planning to actually ensure that your email service runs smoothly and is safe. Basically, all the emails that would come to our practice would then go into a central inbox that would be reviewed by one of the admin staff. So they would bounce on emails to you. So you weren't getting emails that weren't relevant to you, that were about very urgent things, because they would be picked off and given to the on-call duty doctor. And when we took the consent and they signed the form or told us verbally, yes, they were happy for us to use this particular email address, they were told that the email you should be for non-urgent things, that it wasn't going to be checked any more than every few hours, they might not get a response for a couple of days. So it would discourage people from using it inappropriately. And I really felt that that did actually help educate our patients as to the best use of email, so that actually they could use it for quick and simple things. And also from a doctor's point of view, when you're trying to respond to these questions, it's actually a lot easier to respond to 5 queries from patients via email than it is via telephone, because it means that you can actually get through to people. You might be a little bit too late to be calling patients, or if you do call patients, quite often you have to call them 3 or 4 times to get through. So you did feel like actually you were being more efficient.
Emma, do you think that this is a safe approach? Just sending an email, you don't know actually really who it's gone to or who it's come from, do you? You also don't know if the patient's read it, so the advice you've given them about the chest pain they were having, you don't know if that's actually been digested and acted upon.
And you also don't know how the patient would be responding emotionally to that email, whether it be test results, whether it be advice about what needs to be done next. So you don't get that feedback from the patient that you also would get in a face-to-face consultation or in a telephone consultation. We don't know that you're sending the email to that person, to that patient. In March, there was an email hacking scam in which a lot of people were told that their blood results showed they had cancer. So we'd have to make sure that we could safeguard against hacking and that sort of thing. And educating patients would be one way of doing that. But in terms of losing that non-verbal communication that you get in a face-to-face consultation and over the phone, in terms of understanding, there's certainly more potential for miscommunication, misunderstanding, and possible clinical error.
Emma, what do the patients want? Because at the end of the day, they're the most important people in this conversation.
Patients want different things, and we need to try and provide a service that meets everybody's needs. Above all, it's very important that we reach out to those people that are in the greatest need, and those that are elderly, infirm, and certain sort of socioeconomic and ethnic minority groups. There has been some studies to show that these people tend not to use email. I think in that sense that telephone is different from the internet, because most people do have a phone, most people can pick up the phone. I think that some patients will find that email would be convenient for them, but you need to make sure that everybody gets a good service and good access, and it's going to be difficult to provide a service that suits everybody.
Eleanor, your thoughts based on partly what Emma said and any concluding points you want to make?
We shouldn't substitute every face-to-face encounter with an email. That's also absurd and not appropriate. But there are certain interactions that I think could be amenable to email use, and that could benefit patients.
GPs Eleanor Gunning and Emma Richards debating the practicalities of using email to communicate with your doctor. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, by email, of course, then you can email chris@thenakedscientist.com or find us on Twitter @nakedscientist.